Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Safilo Group's first quarter 2018 trading update. This call may contain forward-looking statements relating to future events and operating, economic, and financial results for Safilo Group. Such forecasts, due to their nature, imply a component of risk and uncertainty due to the fact that they depend on the occurrence of certain future events and developments. The actual results may vary, therefore vary even significantly to those announced in relation to a multitude of factors. Today's participants are Angelo Trocchia, Chief Executive Officer, Gerd Graeschler, Chief Financial Officer, and Barbara Ferrante, Director of Investor Relations. I will now pass the call over to Mr. Angelo Trocchia, Chief Executive Officer. Mr. Trocchia, you may begin.
Hi, good evening, everyone. First of all, I'm very happy and glad to be to be connected and to have this first opportunity to talk with you. Clearly, I just came in into the business, so I think that for this evening, I will try to be quite quiet. But then in the future, I think that we will have more opportunities to get in more detail and answer to more questions. But let's see. I'm here anyhow. So I'm passing by, and I will leave to Gerd to move forward.
Thank you, Angelo. Good evening to everybody. First quarter 2018 was for us a period of restoration and recovery, a period which, of course, compares to one of the most difficult quarters in our history, impacted at the time by the complex launch of the new information system in the Padua distribution center, eventually resulting in a great deal of orders unable to exit the warehouse at the end of March 2017. We recorded strong growth rates in the European markets and in the emerging countries, which had been meaningfully affected last year by the distribution center issues, while in North America, net of the very strong impact from the US dollar weakness against the euro, we saw a continuation of the soft trends we had recorded at the end of last year. In total, the group's net sales equaled 250.9 million euros, up 6.9% at current exchange rates and 15.4% at constant exchange rates. Thus, foreign exchange had a very negative 8.5% impact on the top line, mainly from the US dollar devaluation, but also from the unfavorable trends of many other currencies like the Brazilian real, the ruble, the sterling, etc. In the quarter, our brand portfolio up 16.9% at constant exchange rates when excluding the Gucci to Kering eyewear business was enriched by the launch of the new licenses Moschino, Love Moschino, and Rag & Bone. The period was back in black at the operating level with an adjusted EBITDA of 13.1 million euros compared to the loss of 6.2 million euros we recorded in Q1 2017 and the weak result we also achieved in Q4 of last year. To introduce the KPIs of the quarters, I need to mention also the group net debt, which at the end of March 2018 stood at 166 million euros, seasonally higher than the net debt position reported at the end of the year. As a reminder, that was 131.6 million euros, while it stood at 111 million euros at the end of March 2017. Moving to our sales performance, I would like to clarify very quickly a couple of things up front. One relates to the effects associated with the adoption of the new accounting standard, IFRS 15, regarding revenue from contracts with customers, which entered into effect starting from 1st of January 2018. Following the full retrospective approach we chose, the first application of the principle to the first quarter of 2018 had an adjustment effect equal to 2.7 million euros on the sales and cost of goods sold of the first quarter of 2017, with a neutral effect on the gross profit. Consequently, Q1 2017 net sales were adjusted to 234.6 million euros, while gross profit remained equal to 116.8 million euros. On the other hand, starting from this quarter, there will be no further reference to the going forward brand portfolio, while we continue to provide for our business in Europe also the performance excluding the Gucci to Kering eyewear business. Now, by geographical area and at constant exchange rate, sales in Europe increased by 26.8% and by 31.1% excluding the Gucci business. In the period, we recorded significant growth rates in the majority of the markets, which had been meaningfully impacted in Q1 2017 by the problems in the Padua distribution center. Recovery was broad-based, but we clearly tried to analyze deeper the underlying performance of the region, also in consideration of the fact that we also experienced a weak start to the sun season. Overall, the underlying performance of the European markets was therefore flattish. North America remained soft in Q1, overall down at constant exchange rates, with the wholesale revenue decreasing by 5.5% and by 4.1% when excluding a final stock sale to Gucci occurred in the base of last year. What we saw in the first quarter of the year in North America was a resilient performance of our strategic independent opticians channel, as well as an overall positive performance of our Canadian market. While the business environment remained weak in department stores, where we were also moving our product offer more towards the fashion and contemporary segments, a clear trend emerging within this channel. Furthermore, in the quarter, we had some business volatility also in some of our chains, which we are trying to recover for the second half of the year. On the brand side, Smith had a soft beginning to the year behind a very challenging comp space, driven by a very strong winter season last year, while on the positive side, the launch of Rag & Bone was fully able to compensate last year's sales of Celine. As far as our Solstice stores are concerned, in the quarter we closed 16 stores, taking the network at the end of March to a total of 86 stores, compared to 105 at the end of March 2017. Solstice sales equaled 11.8 million euros in Q1 and posted an increase of 1.4% at constant exchange rates, and same-store sales performance was positive by 2.5%. Sales in Asia Pacific were up 44.3% at constant exchange rate compared to the difficult start again in the period Q1 2017. After the progress we started to post in Q3 and then in Q4 2017, the significant growth we recorded in the region in the first 3 months of 2018 with the majority of our brands in the key markets and channels of the regions represented a continuation of a double-digit underlying performance. Finally, in the rest of the world, we almost doubled the business recorded in Q1 2017, ending the quarter up 95.2% at constant currency. Brazil, Mexico, India, and Saudi Arabia were the most dynamic markets of the area, together with the countries where Safilo had more recently entered through local distribution partnerships. Also in this case, we see the underlying performance quite in line with the preceding quarter, equal to a high double digit. Moving to the economic performance of the period, gross profit increased by 9.1% to 127.5 million euros, while the margin moved up 100 basis points from 49.8% to 50.8% of net sales, with different key drivers behind. More significantly than usual, foreign exchange had an impact, a negative impact on gross margin of about 70 basis points. This reflects mainly the fact that while we are quite efficiently naturally hedged on the dollar, so having a great deal of revenues, but also cost of goods sold denominated in dollars, we don't really have much of a cost base in other currencies, and we don't hedge currencies like the Brazilian real or the Russian ruble. In the quarter, we had a positive effect from the sales mix and above all from lower obsolescence charges, which remained the most significant positive driver, together with higher industrial cost efficiencies, in particular in the area of sourcing. As indicated in our press release, in the first quarter we had 1.7 million euros of non-recurring costs, mainly related to the costs around the CEO succession plan, which we have excluded from our adjusted EBITDA result. As last year, our adjusted EBITDA does instead include an income of 9.8 million euro as pro rata portion of the accounting compensation for the early termination of the Gucci license, equal to 39 million euros for the full year 2018. Eventually, we closed Q1 with an adjusted EBITDA profit of 13.1 million and a margin on net sales of 5.2%, overall recovering 790 basis points. We had 2 million euros of negative Forex impact at the EBITDA level, and thus we were left with about 50 basis points of negative impact. The recovery below the gross margin came behind about 5 million of our overhead productivity plan, which should bring us to a total of 15 million euros for the year, while the rest of the improvement was explained by a better operating leverage driven by higher sales. Finally, as already said, our net debt at the end of March 2018 stood at €166 million, €34 million higher than at the end of last year. This increase is mainly explained by the seasonality of our business, which normally absorbs cash at the beginning of the year when a higher portion of trade receivables are generated. On the other hand, our net inventory further decreased at the end of March. As we strive to improve sales and demand planning, we keep production volumes as tight as possible, aiming to deliver higher portions of our sales from available stock. We're thus looking for the best possible trade-off between the objective to reduce inventory and obsolescence cost, the need to keep an efficient level of production volume, and a service level that is satisfactory to our customers. At this point, we conclude our presentation and we can open the line for your questions.
And ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to ask a question, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you're using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, that's star 1, and we'll pause for just a moment. And we'll go first to Alberto Cecinato with Fidentiis.
Hello, good evening. I got two questions, please. The first one is about Smith. I was wondering what kind of size Smith has reached within your total revenues on an annual basis and what kind of expectation you have beyond the first quarter for this year. And the second question is about Solstice. So this is, if I remember correctly, the second quarter in a row that you have positive comps, and I was wondering whether you expect Solstice to be EBITDA positive this year or not. Thank you.
Okay, I think on the first question, the Smith business on a full-year basis is in a range of 1,900 million euros of turnover. As you know, it's a brand that is quite strong in North America in the core business. So it's clearly a brand that over the trajectory of the last three, 4 years has actually been doing well, has performed in line with what we have foreseen. And it's something that we see also continuing going forward. On Solstice, it's true we had a good Q1. The comp store performance, I think, was good. Our key focus on Solstice remains that we want to see by the middle of the year how the turnaround plan that we started about 12, 15 months ago is going to pan out. Of course, retail is a day-by-day business, so we are really trying to be very focused on comp sales every day, and you know the market fluctuates up and down. At this point, Solstice is not yet EBITDA positive, but I think that if we manage to stabilize the level of sales, if we manage to continue growing comps, while of course the stores that we are discontinuing are stores that are not profitable stores, I think over time we also then expect the marginality to follow.
Thank you.
Again, ladies and gentlemen, that is star 1 for questions. We'll go next to Tony Levin with Odo.
Yes, good evening, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my questions. My question is about the refinancing of the revolving credit facility. Do you have any? Could you please give us an update on this point? I think you said in a press release at the beginning of the year that you started negotiation with the banks about this topic. And my second question is about the expected full-year revenue. I think, again, you said in a previous conference call that you were quite comfortable with the consensus of EBITDA, adjusted EBITDA of about 60 million euros, 660. And at constant exchange rates, are you still comfortable with this figure? Thank you.
Okay, I think let me make a start to this. So basically, on the progress of the refinancing and considering the expiration of the lines during this year. I mean, I think that what we said at the time is still what is relevant at this point. So we are in active discussions with all the key stakeholders that are involved. I think the discussions are productive and are moving forward, but at this point I cannot give yet any further update or any further conclusive update. So the project and the discussions are continuing. With regards to the full year, I'll give it a start. I mean, of course, as you know, our business is a business that has a certain degree of seasonality, particularly in the consumption. So I would say that before we give an updated view and an updated visibility for the full year, really understanding how the sales of April, May, June, and the respective sellout in those months and in the summer months will perform is going to be key to really say that, okay, what is it that we are expecting for the year.
Thank you.
And again, as a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, it is star one for questions. We'll go next to Cedric Rossi with Bryan Garnier.
Yes, good evening, everyone. I have also two questions, please. The first one is on your 16.9%. Could you break it down between the licensed brand portfolio and your own brand? So I understood that Smith had a weak start to the year, but what about the other your other own brands? And the second one is on the outlook, just to follow up on the previous question. If you can comment on April, have you seen, for instance, in Europe, an improving underlying trend, and what about North America? Thank you.
Okay, I think I mean, of course, the growth rate of our brands are all quite high, to be honest, because clearly they have all the effect, I think, on the base period. So we'll need a bit more time to really read that properly. I think I can give you a couple of highlights. I think there is on the one side in the licensed brand what is encouraging us, and which is very different from last year, is a promising start for Dior. So this, I think, is a good thing, and that I think is something that is underlying. I would say on the other side, as I said before, on our own core brands, I can talk about Smith, because on Smith we really don't have this impact of last year, considering that it was so much driven by the United States, and here the performance is a little bit more challenging because we had this very strong base period of last year. I think on the second question, and this is maybe a more general point, that how are we entering into the second quarter? Because really the brand performance also, I think it's very early to read things into Q1. Then you really need to have the sellout, and with the reorders, I think we will see if we have had a good year or not. I think April was quite uneven. Uneven in the sense that North America, we continue to see a similar trend of what we've seen in the first quarter. We continue to see in the emerging markets a positive continuation of the upside. But we had quite a very soft April in Europe, where we also continue to experience these effects of the weak start to the sun season. As you know, more than 60% of our business is sun. The season hasn't started very well at all, so April has been impacted. And now our key focus is to see May and June, which are the most important months of the quarter, and sun in particular, how these coming weeks will play out in terms of order collection.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
Our next question comes from Domenico Gilotti with Equita.
Good afternoon. My first question is a follow-up on the refinancing. In particular, you were commenting about talking, so active discussion with all stakeholders. Do you mean also with your reference shareholder? So are you also discussing with the reference shareholder on potential strengthening of the capital if needed? And the second question is on the Q1 performance in Europe. I'm trying to understand, given the very easy comps or disruption last year, if you are happy, if you are satisfactory by the performance of Q1, or if you were expecting even stronger growth. And I don't know if Mr. Trocchia would like to take the question at this point, but it would be interesting having his priorities, maybe very high-level priorities, despite the very early stages. Otherwise, I would like to know when would you provide an update on the business plan.
Okay, I start with the first two. With regards to the refinancing, let me say that HAL is involved in the updates and the discussions to the degree that they have a director on the board of Safilo. So there, I would say, as we've always said, HAL is long-term oriented. He's very committed. He's a very engaged reference shareholder for us. They stand firmly behind the company and the board. But I think at this moment, any further conversation on refinancing / HAL is premature, because we are doing this now and working on this in our own right. Q1 for Europe, let me say that in principle, in terms of performance, of course, the numbers are very high. As you say, the base was very low. I think that the underlying performance, if we really strip out the fact that we had all the stuff in the warehouse last year, the underlying performance is quite flattish in Europe. Clearly, to some degree, impacted by a quite slow start to the sun season. I think we certainly are in a much better place than we were a year ago, but with a flattish underlying performance, I mean, it's clear that we are not yet at the place that we want to be.
I'm trying to answer on the question which was referred to me. I mean, clearly, let me say, our early time, in the sense that just came in 1 month ago, but I can reassure that we are working full speed on really have a sort of plan, you know, to really have a sort of long-term view where Safilo should go, and we're really working full speed, and shortly we will come back to the market with more information on that, because I think it's clear that we need to give more visibility on what the plan and what the strategic direction for Safilo are. In the short run, in terms of priority, clearly we need to keep building the top line. We need to keep recovering the top line. But let me say, with a couple of twists. One is a huge focus on the service level. I think that the Q1 is reassuring us that we are on the right track. But I think we need really to take the level of service on a different level compared to what somehow has been our historical figures. And the other little bit twist is on improving the marginality. So there is, and there is going to be, a big attention on the cost side to improve marginality via top line, but also via really a huge focus on any kind of cost or any area of improvement in terms of efficiencies.
Thank you.
As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, that is star one for questions at this time, star one. We'll go next to Henry Hilgarth with Quaro Capital.
Hello, thank you for taking my questions. I had a question on your cash flow expectations maybe for the year, and maybe if you could remind us if there is a final Gucci payment through the cash flow in 2018 and when exactly it's expected. And then another question on your expectations maybe for working capital at the end of the year? And possibly also if you could help us understand maybe a little bit in the P&L, what sort of tax rates you look at in 2018. Thank you.
Yeah, I think the on the question of the cash flow and the net financial position. So clearly, as I said also before, so our business is quite seasonal in the sense that during the first half of the year, we tend to absorb cash. During the second part of the year, we tend to let's say collect cash or make cash. I think that therefore, in the first half year, I think I would see also this trend to affect us in 2018, while in the second half of the year, I think that we should then see a recovery. Clearly, within 2018, we expect to also receive, or we will receive, let me say, the final 30 million euros installment of Kering for the Gucci indemnity, so that towards the end of the year, we expect to be more or less in a similar position of where we closed last year. So this is a little bit how we're going. Of course, the key elements in the working capital will be the cash collection from receivables on one side. So far in the year, you know, I think our DSO is stable to slightly improving. So there is a good quality of receivables. The amount of, or the quantity of receivables obviously will come from what we can invoice. And the other one that is key is the inventory, where historically we've always had quite a bit of cash absorption. The good news is that in Q1 of this year, we've actually significantly reduced the cash absorption from the inventory, and that is something that we continue to focus on also in the next quarters. On the tax rate, I think it's a bit difficult to say at this point. I mean, typically our tax rate is quite biased to the North American tax rate in terms of cash taxes that we pay. Then there's a lot of movements in terms of deferred taxes, but in terms of cash taxes, we are quite biased towards the North American tax rate because we have a good chunk of our profitability coming from North America. So, I mean, there can be some favorability coming there because now there is the Tax and Job Act. So I think potentially we can see for the full year something a bit better than last year, but it will take a bit more time to analyze this properly.
As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, that's star one for questions at this time, star one. And with no further questions in queue, I'd like to turn the call back over to our speakers today for closing remarks.
Okay, so thanks very much to everyone, and let's speak later on another occasion. Thanks very much indeed.